Greetings to all, everyone who's listening today. I am going to engage with you in a conversation for those of you who would like to participate. And it was kind of motivated by looking at or coming across, really, this whole GameStop scandal. I had no idea what it was about. But I listened to a programmer on the internet, Kim Iverson, and she was explaining from her vantage point what it was all about. And Kim Iverson is somewhat of a progressive host of a program that you can find in all kinds of different media. But she isn't doggedly one side or the other. And I like that because it helps from my vantage point to be able to see the big picture. I tend to look at the extreme progressive, the moderate, the right, and the extreme right, mostly because I want to see the whole picture. So what's going on with GameStop? GameStop is a company that sells to gamers. So it's so totally out of my universe, I didn't understand what this was all about. But as it turns out, what it is a protest that took place from millions of individual people who wanted to make a statement about hedge funds. What are hedge funds? So we might wonder, how is it that there are a class of people that are profiting from, say, the pandemic and profiting from people losing their jobs and companies going out of business? I didn't quite understand what was happening with that. I thought maybe it's the bailouts and that's why they were making so much money. But as it turns out, there are these hedge funds who invest in losing companies. So what the hedge funds do is they'll look at a company such as GameStop who is likely to be going out of business. And apparently they've been doing this since since before the whole real estate bubble busted. That's what they were doing and that's why it busted. But the hedge funds, rather than buying stock in a company that is at risk, they borrow the stock from whatever investors own it, and then they resell it to retailers, people such as us, people who are, you know, trying to get a foothold in their investments, trying to build their own personal wealth. So very few individuals, regular guys, regular gals, people like you and me, have the kind of money that allow us to buy a single stock, much less multiple stocks. So in comes the Robinhood app, which is designed apparently to break down a single stock into many, many investments. So for regular folks who can make a $5 or $10 investment a week, or $20 or $30 investment, whatever it is, all those investments are combined together to be able to buy stocks. And then when the stocks go up, everybody gets their little piece of the pie. So it's a good idea in its essence. But what these hedge funds have been doing and continue to do is they borrow from whatever management companies there are that have ownership of these companies' stocks. And they just borrow the stock. So let's say there's 1 million stocks, they'll borrow 500,000 stocks, or they'll borrow the whole thing, which is what they did with GameStop. And then they put it out for sale to blokes like ourselves who don't really know what's going on at a cheaper price. So they'll say, oh, instead of $75 for this stock, we're going to give it out for $25, for example. And so millions of people put up their little $25 or $10 or whatever it is. And then what the hedge fund does is they watch the stock drop. They already know that the company is going out of business for whatever reason. So they watch the stocks drop. So all the hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people who invested their little $5, $10, $25, they lose. And on one hand, you would say, oh, you know, that's kind of what the stock market is. But this is a process that is designed to take advantage of people in this way. And then they offer to buy the low stock back. So if they sold it for $25, then out of that, and the stock really, and then it goes down to $5, they buy it back. And so, but they would have already earned that money. So then they pay back the loan on the stocks and they walk away with a hefty profit. And so what happens is that regular folk who have combined their little pennies to invest in the stock market are taken advantage of by these hedge funds. And it's, I guess, everybody who goes into it knows that it's a risk. So even people who are aware of what's going on will go into it because they want to rise up the stock value as people keep buying. But the key is to sell off before it sinks. So this is the game. So what happened is some people, this group of investors, were talking online and they said to themselves, wait a minute, we're being taken advantage of. And they decided what we're going to do is we're not going to let these stocks go down. So instead of the stock going down, they combined their power, their buying power, and invested maybe by the millions in this GameStop company. And so the stock value went up. So the company, the investment group that was trying to play this game, ended up in tremendous amounts of debt. And there was a great danger of these hedge funds going out of business. And so the powers that be put a stop to it. But I thought it was very, very interesting that these people who were investing in stocks decided to flip the game on the hedge fund. And this whole process has really educated me about how it is that these hedge funds are profiting from the bad economy, how they are profiting from businesses closing down due to COVID, because they're investing in the businesses closing down. And so the ones at the bottom lose, but the hedge funds walk away with big profits. And that's part of how it's going. So what was interesting about this whole thing, they tried to shut down the platform that these people were having this discussion on. And their initial excuse was, well, they're engaging in hate speech. And so it's like, wait, they're just playing the stock market game. They figured out how to make it work for them. But rather than hold the hedge funds accountable for what they were doing, they decided to shut down the platform saying that it was hate speech. So to me, it sets a very dangerous precedent of claiming that people's activities are hate speech. And it's a way of grouping all kinds of ideologies and thinking and processes under this banner of hate speech. Well, they fought back on that, and they had to put the platform back because there was no hate speech. They were just winning. And then what happened is that the hedge funds changed their rules all of a sudden and no longer allow regular people to combine their resources to buy stocks. So now people can no longer do that because the hedge funds have discovered that they have a vulnerability and they cut that off. And so the people who had bought these stocks and brought them up, I think the stocks went up as much as 1,200%, so they went very high. And because of the change of rules, people are going to be now losing their investments. And the hedge funds will recover their money at the expense of the people who made their little $5 and $10 investments, $20 and $30 investments. But when you look at it, you have to realize that this is really what fraud is. This is what insider trading is. The hedge funds know that the stocks are going down, knowingly sell it to people who don't know, and then recoup profits from that transaction. So that should be against the law, as far as I can say. But what's happened is they have compounded that illegal activity by now preventing small people, you know, small economic bases from engaging in the stock market in the way that they previously had. So it's just another way of closing out regular human beings trying to get ahead in order to benefit the big stock exchange players. But what it also does is reveal how these games are played and why it is that they keep winning, the big money manipulators keep winning, and the regular folks keep losing. And then you have to ask yourself, well, why is this allowed? And this is where we get into big money in politics. So a lot of the politicians, the appointees, when they leave politics, they go into these financial markets and make millions of dollars. Not as investors, they don't really have to do anything. They just go make speeches, get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. And then when they get back into politics, they become the investment of the stock market, and they manipulate the regulations or undo the regulations or allow these kinds of wrongdoing to persist. And that's the game. So and this is how it's being rigged against each of us as individual people. So that's interesting. And, you know, it helped me to really understand what's going on and why the big money donations into legislation and into politicians is a problem. Because very often what they do is, because since they can't donate but so much to an individual person, you can only, 1,200, something like that. So they can't really do that. So the escape clause are these super PACs. So I'm educating myself, and as I'm doing that, I'm explaining to you what's going on. So the super PAC allows for unlimited donations. So this is the scenario. You have a public official or politician. When they leave office, when their administration ends, they go into the financial markets, give a lot of speeches, get paid a lot of money, incur a lot of debt. You know, I owe you for all this money you've given me. So when they get back into a politics or when they become appointed, then they're going to enact the will of the financial institution. This is the same scenario in the medical institutions, in the big pharmaceutical companies. Same kind of process. So the super PACs take the money of the industry who had paid off the politician, paid off the officials, you know, who might have some place in government, some appointed position. And then they pay off the super PAC. They pour money into the super PAC, who creates the dynamic of being able to influence elections. So the super PAC is what pays for all the ads that might smear the other candidate or that might uplift the preferred paid off elected official. And then when that paid off elected official gets back into office, they begin to appoint all the other paid off officials into positions of power. So it becomes a circular loop. And the other piece to this are the lobbyists. Now, the lobbyists may be paid for by the super PACs, I don't know, or paid for by the industry. I'm not sure where their money comes from. But what they do is they are the intelligentsia that tells the politicians what to do. So I know a little bit more about the health issues. So for instance, the Health Cares Act, what became known as Obamacare, was actually written by the lobbyists who represent the health industry. And so that's why it was written in such a way to protect the industry. It gives a few crumbs to us individuals so that it looks good, but it's basically written to protect the pharmaceutical industry. And the same thing is happening with legislation with regard to trading and Wall Street. When they bailed out Wall Street after the housing bubble, these are industry insiders through lobbyists writing these bills, which they give to the politicians they've paid off, that get passed in Congress that protect the interests of the industry. And the people just keep, quality of life keeps going down. But the quality of life for this evil cycle of economic control, they just keep getting fatter. So that's kind of what's going on. And I think that it's important that we educate ourselves. Don't take my word for it. You know, there's a lot online where you can educate yourself more about this. I'm working on it because I'm really not, have never really been interested in those things. But I'm paying attention to it because this is what's controlling our lives. The other thing that happened, which Kim Iverson really brought to my attention, is that when these online people, the little guys decided to stiff the system and buy the stocks, raising their own wealth and forcing the hedge funds to take the loss. One of the ways that they were smearing this group of people is to claim that they were right-wing extremists. Now, that's not true. These were people interested in economics, probably on all sides of the spectrum, not right-wing extremists at all. And, you know, they had to retract that because it wasn't true. But this led me to be cautioned about what we're hearing in the mainstream media, even more cautioned, about who is being painted as what. And I think we have to begin to realize that all of this extremist language is playing both sides against the bottom. So the right wing are calling the left wing Antifa, and the left wing is calling the right wing revolutionaries or whatever it is, insurgents. And I'm inclined to believe that none of this is true. But where we have to be concerned is we have this plethora of political people on both sides of the spectrum who are using these cross accusation. It's like the Revolutionary War shooting across the bow at each other, but really the collateral damage is the population. So now they want to pass all kinds of regulations about hate speech, and they want to be able to censor people because they're saying things that go against the status quo. Well, what is the status quo? It's anything that will stop the profits and the gains of the uber rich class. And they have us knuckleheads down at the bottom of the barrel actually destroying each other over lies, essentially lies. I'm not saying that there aren't extreme lefties and that there aren't extreme righties. There are. I would question if it's COINTELPRO, if they're not being pushed and propped up, is my guess. I think most people are somewhere in the middle. And I would ask all of us to be much more cautious about pointing the finger, making accusations, and buying into this game. And we need to take 10 steps back and look at the whole picture. In my Qigong class, I teach a meditation. It's actually a bone marrow cleanse. But what it is that it invites us to go inward, to contemplate and breathe with the heart and connect with our true wisdom. And then that's called the contemplative Buddha. So it would be the universal self, cosmic self, the wisdom, the deep wisdom we have within us. And then the next move is to open up into the awakened Buddha. And we expand our vision as far from the right to the left as we can. And we spread out both hands and want to see both hands in the periphery of our vision. And it's about seeing what's on the one side, seeing what's on the other side, looking at the full spectrum between and the shades between that spectrum, and just looking at the whole picture. We can step back. We don't have to be involved necessarily, but we need to really see all that's happening around us without emotionally engaging and investing in those activities, because our emotional investment, that stamping out Trump supporters or stamping out communist lefties, those ideologies are what is the trap. It's what draws us into the conflict. in which we are in a circular firing squad, knocking each other off while the people at the top are having a grand old time listening to our cries while their pockets get fuller and fuller and fuller. And this allows them to advocate for more of our suffering because they're profiting from that ultimately. So when they refuse to give out their stimulus checks, when they refuse to bail out small businesses, when they refuse to allow individuals to take full care of their sovereignty with regard to their health, when they deny you various off-prescription drugs, drugs that are actually working, have been in the market for 50, 60, 40 years, are proven safe, when those are suppressed, when they suppress people from investing their little dollars, putting them together, investing in the market, when they cut that off, what they're doing is they're penning in. They're pushing us closer to into desperation. And then it's that trigger of the emotional connect that pushes us into that circular firing squad where we're beating up on each other, hating on each other, accusing each other, and blaming each other, when really it's the guys laughing at the top of the totem pole who are the cause of this. It's manipulation. You see it in medicine. You see it in politics. You see it in economics. You see it in housing. And each of us, as our individual selves, have to step back and look at what's going on and stop pretending like it's the clown on the other side of the spectrum that's in control of this. They are not, any more than we are. And the only way to move forward is to start looking at the truth and taking steps to find common interest, common ground, and to move forward from that point, from that vantage point. Otherwise, this game will continue. So that's my perspective. I will be happy to receive your phone calls if you want to respond to that. And we will otherwise go on to other things. But let me play a little bit of music for you. I'm going to play, let me see if I can get this to play, Don't Go Back to Sleep by the Spirit of Rumi.
the beauty we love be what we do. Don't go back to sleep.
Good morning. This is Mercedes calling from Brooklyn. Thank you for taking the time to broach that subject. I just wanted to add to all what you have said, which is just so on point, that most people don't know that even when the stock market goes down, the people in the know buy what they call options, the puts, where they are betting that that stock is going to go down to a certain price. So when it drops, people are making money also. So, you know, a lot of workers, when the guys come to their workplace for them to sign up on 401ks, they don't introduce them to that. They only put them in mutual funds where they charge them 5% to open the account, and they make a commission every day, every year with the expense. So they never tell them about stocks, nothing like that. And that was a great disservice when Ronald Reagan said, oh, yes, everyone can take part in 401ks. They never educated the staff. I am one of them. I had to educate myself over the last 9 years after an injury, stay home and read until 2 o'clock in the morning, and started moving my monies out of most of the mutual funds. My friend is 70. The advisor at the bank never called her to say it's time to move some of your monies from mutual funds. He's sitting there nicely on it until I'm tackling it now with them. So there is a lot more to do, but I'm glad that you are broaching this subject. Someone needed to take the time to explain to people how this thing works, especially workers with 401ks who for 40 years only wind up with maybe $20,000 more than what they put in over a 40-year period. So thank you very much, Ms. Davis.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I so appreciate your call. And yeah, we have to start looking at how this game is being played and how we're being really messed up by it. Thank you. I'm going to go to our next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Thank you so much for your excellent program. I speak a lot on the radio, so I'm going to talk. I'm trying to do it in 1 minute. I would like to suggest you to start to have a cross section of people that are being interviewed of all races and nationalities. I keep hearing like black, you know, with water and the this and that, as if you know that is the only dimension. And Caucasian people are people of other races and nationalities don't think they're in the mix as well. But if we're talking about water, let's go to parts of Pennsylvania and speak to people that live there and parts of the South. You know, if we could kind of bring the dialogue in a more collective basis, that would help a lot since it's a communication entity. And please, everybody, thanks so much.
Thank you. I'm going to go to the next caller.
Oh, hi, how you doing? Yes, my name is Joe. I'm from Long Island. I really like what you were saying. It's you don't hear that much about, you know, the people on top looking down on us and laughing at us going at each other. And you know, there's a lot of stuff, like you were saying, online that really uncover, like, you know, who's responsible for our economic mess or whatever, geopolitical. But it seems that, you know, that, you know, that the economic powers, especially things like the Federal Reserve, which is, you know, a privately owned entity, is really the political power in the world, not only in this country. And there, it seems like there isn't any sovereign nations that can have, you know, any nation that has a political power. It seems to be just at the, you know, beck and call of their economic bankers on top. And you know, so, you know, it's just foolish to even aligned with any political, you know, whether it's Republican, Democrat, liberal, progressive, whatever. It really doesn't have a say. The ship just keeps on going in one direction according to what the economic powers that be tell it to go, you know. So, you know, it was very refreshing to hear you, you know, be talking along those lines. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. And we'll go to our next caller.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for this discussion. And I was wondering if you would be interested in having Richard Wolff discuss this topic of stock manipulation.
Well, I could certainly send him an email and see what he says. Yeah, sure.
Have him as a guest.
I would love to have him as a guest. I'll check into that. He's a great host and producer and well-informed.
If he does agree to come on, would you announce in advance when he's coming on?
I'll do that. Thank you.
Because we'd love to go into this even further. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we'll go to our next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Great show. Are you familiar with the CPR and all that, the Center for Public Relations, the Fed, Operation Mockingbird?
A little bit, but I'm learning.
The CIA is doing to us now with the whole propaganda that they're allowed to put on us. Full censorship coming into effect. We're heading right for China. Joe Biden wants to go right to China model. We're going to do the whole mandatory vaccines, the full lockdown, no more faces seen, full masks forever, full distancing forever. And that is a tool. And that's just another tool. If you know David Rockefeller, who started all of this stuff and was one of the leads in the CPR and all these guys from way back then, we never escaped their grip. It just looked like we did. We never escaped the king's grip. It just looked like we did. You understand? We're still in the same pyramid scheme from back in 4,000 years ago. And the same Bezos, Pharaohs on top, Gates on top. Now, the only scary thing about this is Rockefeller says they're going to rise up against us. We're going to swat them like the insects that they are. They're not even worthy of being insects. You can read what he said. We're going to poison them by land, sea, and air. They're going to be poisoned at every front. We're going to poison their children with vaccines. They're doing it. Everything they said they're doing, they're doing. So the game plan now is they have the power to do it with a simple virus. So what are you going to do? You're going to stand up against the people that have a vaccine with a virus that they made with your money? And all they can do is let that thing go. Maybe they do have a vaccine for themselves. I mean, we have to man up because we're no longer men. We're no longer free men. We are being trapped by a handful of people because we don't have the common sense and nerve, like you just said, to look at the big picture, say we're all being played like a bunch of hicks, bunch of idiots, and wake up. But when we wake up, you can't wake up angry. Because if you start fighting, they can easily swat us like bugs. They just spray the raid. They can easily do that. And they have plenty of people that are willing to do it, apparently. All these killers out there are willing to just, you know, take a buck for another nuke, sell a nuke, who cares? Sell this, they don't care. You know what I mean? I don't know where they're going to go when the planet's ruined. Probably going to run under the trap. You know, these rats are going to run under the tunnels that we built for these government officials that sold us out. And they're going to run under there. We're going to be stacked up here with all the crap that they really made fighting over these riches of the world. It's really an insane thing.
Yeah.
I wrote a book on it. I'd love your opinion on it. Temporary Insanity, Call in the Cavalry. Temporary Insanity, Call in the Cavalry, as in Christ, the Cavalry. Because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a lot of blood and a lot of lives and a lot of risks and a lot of fear and a lot of pain to get free again. But we have to do it or we're going to end up zombies that replaced by robots. But first we're going to be zombies in a confined Big Brother thing. We're halfway there.
And
who's going to get us out of here? We have to get us out of here. But you waking us up with the information, you got Gary Null doing it. But like I said, it's a brave new world because they hear everything you say. Whether you're on the radio or you're on your phone or you're in your room, in your house. So good luck getting the revolution going if they hear everything. So you just have to naturally evolve, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just have to naturally evolve and stop putting the money and power into these people's hands. We have to go away from money somehow. We have to either get away from money or retract it from so many things because a whorish generation, we're selling each other out. A whorish generation is going to have a bad ending.
Yeah.
That's in the books.
Yeah.
But anyway, I love your show. Sorry I'm rambling. Great show, but it's a scary future if you don't see it.
Yeah, and we do need to see it. Thank you for your call.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to our next caller. Hello?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, good.
I just wanted to acknowledge two things. One thing that you brought up, which was hardly ever brought up, which is the circling firing squad and allowing one another, regardless of, you know, the difference in our opinions, is to create a space for where we can all have a conversation, because I think that that is lacking. And when we try to shut the other side off, we're actually just cutting lines of communication. And the other thing was the lady that called in, and she made a mention about more inclusion. There are people like myself that have been on the side of all oppressed people, and sometimes because I don't fit the way that the group that I'm fighting for looks like, I'm not considered valid. And we need to empower one another and allow for that space to happen. Otherwise, you know, part of this whole problem is divide and conquer. And certainly the powers that be would like nothing more than for us to continue this black, white, gay, Jewish, straight, Catholic, all of this baloney instead of the things that are really most important to us. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, and I thank you for bringing up those subjects.
Yes, and thank you so much. It's really important and that we start sharing all of these ideas. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, I'm just calling from Jersey City. I just wanted to say that I think it's great that what you were saying earlier about people having to acknowledge that all of this stuff about white supremacists and right-wing extremists kind of needs to be called out, because from people on the left, like a lot of people I think would fit into the left category. So, you know, nobody really is saying that they're just labeling all these right-wing people as extremists and as white supremacists, and it's not really the case. They just have different ideas about how the country should be run, and some of them are valid ideas, and the left has completely dismissed the right as just white supremacists and extremists and racists. And we really, us on the left, really need to stop that and really need to stand up for them, because we are kind of like a yin and a yang. We kind of need them and they need us. So I thought that was great what you were saying. You don't really hear that a lot on the radio, especially from the left. I don't know how you consider yourself on the left or the right, but generally it seems to me to be sort of on the left. So I thought that was great. That's so important. And they're using it against everyone, including the left. They're using all of that, all of this censorship against everyone. So
I agree. So, yeah. And I would consider myself somewhere on the left side of the spectrum, but I come from historically a conservative family. A lot of people don't realize that there was a time when black people were the conservatives. But so I have a conservative edge to me. And I think that you just need to see all that's going on. Because as you said, the rules that they're using against the right, they're codifying them to use against the left. And we're all going to be in the soup together. And we need to stop it now. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Can I say one more quick thing?
Yeah, quickly.
About freedom of speech. You know, there was a time when people used to say they may not agree with what you say, but they defend your right to say it. I think that's kind of gone out the window, and we need to sort of, like, remember the principles of freedom of speech, you know, kind of review them, because I think we just forget them, and we don't ever have to argue these points, so you just kind of forget how to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we need to sort of brush up on our like history and our knowledge of all this, you know.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think part of the problem now also is the way we've been corralled into this negative mind frame through how social media is being used. And this is from the perspective of the program itself corrals people. Well, all you guys are on the right, that's all you'll ever see. These other folks are on the left, that's all you'll ever see. And they come down the middle, creating the hatred towards each side. So it's a very toxic situation. The only way to overcome it is to individually step out of it. Thank you for your call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take our next caller. Hello, you're on the air, and actually you're the last caller because we're running out of time. Thank you.
Hello, I really enjoyed your insightful narrative because you know how to help regular people understand things. And that's really great. And like the caller, what is his name, Calorie or something like that? The guy who was speaking quite a while, he is something else. He should get his own talk show.
He may have one. Check YouTube.
What is his name? Calorie, something like that.
I don't recall
you. You were really amazing. You show us how it is so rigged. I mean, they can never lose, but we always lose.
That's the
game. I mean, you showed that so clearly. I mean, it is amazing. And that's the deal. People, you know what? People don't understand we're all in the same boat. You know what I mean?
We really are. And I'm not saying that all these issues don't exist and that they're not real. They are.
Right.
But we cannot continue to act on that warring of those issues.
Yes.
If we can look and see how we, whether left or right, we are both being really played, then maybe there would be less room for hatred.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I'm Jamaican too, baby. Okay, thank you, sweetheart.
All right,
you're
thank
so
you.
Good.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. And you are listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. We have the news coming up soon, and I'm going to look for it. Hopefully I can find it in time. And I want you to stay tuned for Gary Null Show coming up at 1 p.m. And I love you all, and let's stay awake, because truth be told, it's the only truth. It's the only way to go. And to me, this is what being spiritual is. It's not about sitting on a cushion, gazing at your navel, as they say. That means that we have to bring that spiritual truth and spiritual action of fairness, compassion, and justice is a spiritual thing. But we have to embody it in our everyday. Anyway, thank you and stay tuned.
Too big. and the world's too small, and there's no one there to love. Snowfall.